Never present your private lending program and a deal in the first conversation with a potential private lender. You've already compromised yourself. You already sound desperate. You already sound like you're begging, even if you don't sound like you're begging.
This is the naked truth about real estate investing. Your host, Javier, has already been through all the brain damage of this business, so you don't have to go through it. That way, you're not exposed to all of the risk of losing your shirt or getting caught with your pants down. So let's dive into another No BS episode right now.
Hello, everybody. This is Javier Hinojo, your host of The Naked Truth About Real Estate Investing. And today I got a neighbor of mine in North Carolina, Jay Connor. He's out in Morehead City by the coast, close to Emerald Isle, Atlantic Beach. If you guys never been there, it's a nice place in North Carolina. Grab some Airbnbs and hang out. And we just found out that I have an apartment building about 20 minutes from where he's at, which is pretty cool. So a little bit about Jay. He's been doing real estate for quite some time. And one of his ninja skills is where do you get the money? He's got a book on that. I get asked all the time, how do I find deals and how do I find money? I think the number one question is, where do I get the money before the deals, right? So he's definitely got a book on that. We'll talk a little bit about it. And he's got a coaching program. They do about 2 to 3 flips or transactions a month, but they're pretty profitable. So I know some folks that do 10, 15 a month, super slim margin. So we'll ask him about that. What's his thoughts on volume versus like quality, right? Quantity versus quality. And we'll just dive right in. Jay, did I miss anything?
Man, you got it going perfectly, Javier. Thank you so much for inviting me on. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome, Jay. Appreciate your time. So I know that intro just barely hit the tip of the iceberg. So I know you've done a lot. You met at a mastermind, a collective genius. So definitely know you've done a lot more than that. So we're just going to take one episode at a time. I'm going to start by tell me a little bit about you guys. You could do 2 or 3 transactions per month. And, you know, it's more of a quality versus quantity. So go ahead and talk to me about that.
Sure. Well, as you said, my wife, Carol Joy, and I are here in Eastern North Carolina. We started investing and flipping single family houses back in 2003. So we've been doing it quite a while. And from 2003 until 2009, those first 6 years, I relied on local banks and mortgage companies to fund our deals. And then in January 2009, my lines of credit got turned off overnight like the rest of the world. And so here I was with deals under contract to buy, representing over $100,000 in potential profit and equity, and no way to fund those deals. And so I knew I had to find a better way quickly. So my definition of coincidence is God's way of staying anonymous. So in less than 2 weeks, I was introduced to this wonderful world of private money. And I don't mean hard money. I mean private money. And since that time, I've not missed out on a deal for not having the cash. And so that's how I got into private money and actually became known by 2011 as the Private Money Authority. But our total target market, Javier, is only 40,000 people. So I target a small market. As you said, we only do 2 to 3 deals a month, but our average profit is $67,000 in the past 12 months. And that's with a median price point in our area of only $225,000. So to make an average of $67,000, you got to be buying them at like 50% of the after repaired value. So we've got some pretty creative ways that we find these deals. And so, you know, I could expand outside my market, but I've just made it a business decision that I want to stay here locally. I mean, I could have boots on the ground in other markets, but my cup of tea is just to have it all in my backyard. And of course, to make these profits as well, rehabbing's got to be involved. So we rehab most of them, turn them into absolutely beautiful homes. And that's sort of what we got going on now in this market where it's really the most difficult I've experienced since 2003 to find the deals. So we've had to pivot and turn on that as well to continue to keep our volume going with locating these kinds of deals.
Yeah, for sure. Right now, I know there's such a low inventory. So it's been a challenge. A few folks I've spoken to, like they got to pivot. You got to be able to pivot pretty quickly and find out how to get your new deal flow. But let me ask you a question. You said you start going from banks to private money, not hard money. So how about you explain the difference between hard money and private money?
Sure. So most of the time, a hard money lender is a broker of money. Most of the time, a hard money lender, a hard money lending company is going out and raising private money like I do. And, you know, my clients and students do. We raise private money from individuals. So a private lender or private money is simply an individual, a human being like us, that loans money either from their investment capital or and or their retirement funds. So right there is a whole nother show on self-directed IRAs and how important it is to establish a relationship with a self-directed IRA company. The reason for that is because right now, Carol, Joe and I have got 45 private lenders, individuals that are loaning and funding our deals, and over half of them are using their retirement funds to invest with us and loan us money because it's a beautiful vehicle. They can loan us money and have an unlimited amount of returns per year, either tax deferred and sometimes tax free and always no penalties. But anyway, back to your question, private lending versus hard money. So a hard money lender is a broker of money most of the time versus doing business with individuals. So the biggest differences are the following. First of all, interest rate. Well, you know, with COVID coming along, hard money lenders shut down completely for a period of time. And most of them have now started opening back up, but the interest rates are still pretty high. Average hard money lender right now is 14% nationwide. Now, some are 10, some are 12, you know, but they're high. So like in private money, I pay 7 to 8%, right? So it's like almost like half. So the interest rate's much lower on private money. Another big difference is origination fees. There's always origination fees or points with hard money lenders. There's no origination fees or points with private money. That never comes up. Another big difference is extension fees. So, you know, with a hard money lender, they're going to give you a term of maybe 9 months or 12 months to flip that thing and cash out. With private lending, all of our length of our notes are either 2 years or 5 years. So we're able to use the money much, much longer. And if we haven't cashed out, there's never any extension fee points. You know, a hard money lender extends your note, they're going to charge another 2%. No extension fees with private money. Another big difference is how much money is the hard money lender going to advance to you or give you when you purchase the property? This is the biggest difference. Yeah. Most hard money lenders are only going to advance between 65%, 80% of your purchase price, regardless of how good the deal is. Private money, we get 100% of our purchase price. And if we're rehabbing, we get 100% of our rehab money. And we get all that up front. And another big difference is we make the rules. So when we're borrowing private money, we educate our private lenders as to what our program is. None of my private lenders had ever even heard of private money before starting to do business with us. So we educate people on what our program is, and we put our teacher hat on. You know, Javier, I have never, ever asked anybody for money. I get money chasing me. I've never asked a private lender to loan me money or pledge money or whatever. And the reason is because it's all about positioning. I teach them. They've never seen this kind of returns anywhere else. And so when I get to the end of educating them about what private money is and the high returns they can get safely and securely, I shut up. And then they ask me, well, how do I start? What do I do, Jay? Just write you a check. No, you don't write me a check. We don't do a deal until we can collateralize it. And all the funds are sent directly to our real estate attorney for closing. So it puts you in control. You know, when I was borrowing money from the banks, they're in control. They set the rate. They set the term. They tell me how often to make payments. There's another big deal right there. We structure deals. You don't even make a payment to the private lender till you cash out. You think that'll help your cash flow? Yeah. So you can do all the deals you want. There's no limit to the number of private lenders I can have. You know, when I was borrowing money from the banks, I had a limit to the amount of money I could borrow, the number of deals I could have at any time. So it's like this world of private money, like the handcuffs are off and you're like, you know, free to fly.
Yes, it's really, really good. You made a lot of good points. One question that I did want to ask is with private money, what's the quickest time you got something funded? Like how fast? Speed as
like,
well, right?
Like one day.
Yeah, right. It's huge. I remember one time I was flying to LA and I was buying a house in Dallas, Texas. I was wholesaling it and like the guy backed out last minute. It was a good deal. I know I could buy it, put it in the MLS and make, you know, 30, 40, 50K just like overnight, just super fast, just as is. So I get right before I board my plane, I sent a text message to my buddy in California. I was going to California. It was super early, right? So it was still like 6, 5 a.m. for his time or even earlier. And I said, hey, I need money. This is my deal. Like I need to close like now, right? It was like $200,000-$300,000. By the time I landed, like my layover, he's like, hey man, the money's wired. He didn't see it. He didn't see a note. He didn't see any documents. I just told him how much money I needed and he sent it to my account. And then I sent it to my attorney. Now that's a little bit different, right? We have a relationship. We already done a few deals and he just hooked me up pretty quickly. And then we did all the paperwork the day we closed. We ended up closing that day. And it was like, you know, it was awesome. So like when you said one day, I 100% agree.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, you made a good point right there, Javier, in that story. And what that reminds me to share with everybody is I never pick up the phone and call one of my private lenders and ask them, do you want to do this deal? I never have called them up and present a deal. Like calling my private lender or one of my private lenders and saying, do you want to do this deal? That's the most stupid question I could ask them. I mean, of course they want to do the deal. So here's the deal. When I teach my private lenders about private money, they tell me how much they've got to work with. They always have more than they tell you, right? But so yes, they right. tell me how much they have to work with. Is it liquid? You know, do I need to introduce them to my self-directed IRA rep? Do they need to move funds over? Whatever. So they've told me how much they've got to work with, and they're sitting there waiting for the phone call of when and where to wire the funds. I mean, they told me they're in. So here's a big lesson, a big takeaway. Never present your private lending program and a deal in the first conversation with a potential private lender. You've already compromised yourself. You already sound desperate. You already sound like you're begging, even if you don't sound like you're begging. I mean, here's my program. Here's a deal. I mean, I'm already sound like I'm going, please fund my deal. Please fund my deal. Please, yep. Please, please. Right. So we teach the program. They're in. They're ready to go. And then I call them up. There's only four things that I tell a new private lender on the first deal. I call them up. Here's the exact script. I say to them, hey, so Javier, you're my new private sure. lender. You haven't funded a deal yet. I say, hey, Javier, I got great news for you. I can now put your money to work for you. And here's what it is. I got a home over in Newport under contract. The after-repaired value is $200,000. The funding required is $150,000. So you'll need to wire your funds by next Thursday because that's when the closing is scheduled. That's the conversation. And what do they say? Okay, send me the wiring instructions. And that's really more than they wanted to hear. Now, after doing a deal or two, they don't even want to hear that. All they want to know is how much and when do you need it?
When? Yeah. Yeah, for sure. After you've done a few deals, you got a track record. They just want to know like, hey, when is it? When do you need the money by? Right? How much you need and when?
Yeah.
That's basically it.
So what I've experienced with coaching thousands of people across the nation about how to use private money, what I've discovered is most people have got a challenge with trying to complicate this business. Don't complicate it. It's simple. It's just keep it simple. You know, don't talk the jargon. You know, the more you talk, the more you sound like you're begging, right? And you teach and you just put it out there.
Yeah. So you would say the number one, mistake or that maybe somebody does for raising money is it just, you know, over try to sell the project is it just fear of asking them for money or what would it be?
Yeah. So there's this. So fear is a big thing. So let me share with you and everybody how to switch that, how to get rid of the fear. Here's how you get rid of the fear. They need you more than you need them because the local bank right now, average certificate of deposit for 12 months is paying a whopping 0.22% in the nation for a 12-month certificate of deposit. And you come along and offer to pay 8%, my word, that's more than 32 times more money they can make, you know, in the local bank. I don't know anywhere else people can get a safe, high you know, rate of return like, you know, we offer for private money lenders. I mean, we don't borrow any unsecured funds. Everything's collateralized. Yep. Every note is collateralized and secured by a property. And we typically don't borrow more than 75% of the after repaired value. So there's a built-in immediate, you know, 25% equity right there to protect everybody. So, and you know, the only complaint, Javier, that I've received from our 40 some private lenders is, why didn't you tell me about this sooner?
Yeah, earlier. Yeah.
You know, in fact, over the years, since we've been using private money since 2009, we've received phone calls, handwritten letters in the mail of how we have changed people's retirement years, that they didn't want to, like, you know, start using principal money that they had saved up, you know, from working. And so we've had people that have, you know, cashed out their, you know, stocks and et cetera to be private lenders with us. And so it's just a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, it's awesome. And one more point to make is, you know, if you're borrowing money for a year or 2 years, whatever the note is, a lot of the times when it's that note is due, they're like, oh, can you redeploy my money? Like, oh no, I got it back. Like, no, I what do I do with it now? Like, oh shoot. Like, do you have anything else? Like right away, because they don't want it to sit in their account for 3 months, you know?
Hey, look, while you and I are talking here on the podcast, I just got a phone call from one of my private lenders. Of course I didn't answer it, but I know why he's calling. He's calling wanting to know, when can you put my money back to work?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, as crazy as that sounds, but you know, a lot of folks out there just not having the right training or the right frame of mind, just the right process, right? The right thinking, you know, just you got to go out there and do it. So that's one thing I definitely like about what you have is, I know you have a book, you have a coaching program. It's Where to Get the Money Now. You've taught thousands of people on how to raise private money, and it's not as hard as people think. Actually, it's not.
Yeah.
You know, I've raised millions and you've raised millions.
Oh yeah. Well, right now, with all of our projects we've got going on, we've got between 7 and 8 million, you know, loaned to us from private lenders on all these different houses and projects we're doing. Another thing to help alleviate people's fear is have the mindset of a servant. I mean, have a servant's heart. I mean, to be a good teacher, you got to have a servant's heart. And, you know, you're really doing these people a huge service and favor by teaching them. And by the way, my private lending program that I offer all my private lenders is all laid out in my book, Where to Get the Money Now. And we'll give this away for free to your audience here on the show. But have a servant's heart. I mean, you're going to be making a huge difference in these people's lives by telling them about, you know, and in fact, how to get the word out. How in the world do you spread the word? Well, that's all laid out in the book as well. But you're going to do them a big service by teaching them about private money and how they can get high rates of return safely and securely. Javier, there's really three categories of people as to where you get private money from. The first category is what we call the warm market. That's people we already know, that you already know, that you got some kind of relationship with. You know, they're in your cell phone, they're on your email list, they're your Facebook friends. And I don't mean your fake Facebook friends. I mean people you really know.
Sure.
So, you know, your network. I mean, if you're over 50 years old, you still got a Christmas card list. You know, they're on your Christmas card list.
Whatever. Hey, I'm not 50. I got a Christmas card list.
You're out of the ordinary, man.
I know.
It's going away fast. So that's the first category. People you got some kind of relationship with. You know, your social network. You're in the Rotary Club. You're at church.
Sure.
You know, all those people. The second category is what I call your newly expanded warm market. You know, sometimes I'll have a new client or student that's learning about that we're coaching on private money. And they'll say, Jay, all my people are broke. It's like, my people ain't got no money. First of all, I don't believe them. I think they're just expressing the fear monster.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
But in any event, I always teach people, look, I don't care how big your warm market is that you currently have. You know, go to where the money is, and the more you roll in it, the more sticks to you, right? So get involved in the community. And my book lays out step by step how to expand very quickly your warm market and your associations in your local area where you live.
Network,
and the
right?
Network.
For number two, basically network.
Network. Sure. Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
Right. Number three.
And then the third category of private lenders are existing private lenders. individuals that are already loaning money out to real estate investors. Now, the challenge with existing private lenders is, number one, how do you find them? Number two, they already know the game, right? So you won't be as much of a teacher with your teacher hat on to existing private lenders, and you may not get as competitive interest rates as your own warm market. But for the sake of time, my book lays out exactly how to find in your local area existing private lenders that are individuals loaning money out.
Awesome. So I know right before we press record, you talked about, hey, I want to give out this book to your audience. And for the shipping and handling, it'll save you guys like $20 on Amazon. So Jay is very gracious to do that for us. So go ahead and give us the web link, and it'll be in the show notes as well.
Absolutely. So to get my book for free, and as you said, Javier, just to pay a couple of bucks to cover shipping and handling, it'll save you $20 on Amazon. By the way, it hit number one on Amazon.
Oh, that's awesome.
Just released it a couple of months ago.
Cool.
So here is the free link, www.jayconner, I'm an E-R, not an O-R. So www.jayconner.com/freebook, FREEBOOK, free book.
Awesome. I appreciate that. So just a quick recap today, we spoke to Jay. He flips 2 to 3 properties. He's got over 40 private money lenders, and he's currently has about $7 to $8 million in private money that he uses for his real estate. And he talked about one of the biggest things that you do when you're asking for money is don't try to over-educate, right? And don't be scared, you know, fearful. And then three things on where to start looking for private money, right? With people you know right away, go network, and maybe an existing lenders out there already. He also is giving out a book just for some shipping and handling. You save yourself $20, and he's giving us the web link, and it'll also be in the show notes. So thank you, Jay. I really appreciate it. Which now it brings us to the next part of the show, which is the Naked Truth Roulette. So hopefully I might get you a little bit out of your comfort zone. So.
Oh, my lands. If I'm going to have to get naked, I'm for sure going to be out of my comfort zone.
Well, I don't know. I don't think I have that one anymore on my list.
Oh, good.
I said, honey, I think my wife's like, yeah, you probably should not have that one there. All right. So here we go. We got a roulette. The audience can get a chance to know you, right? We talked a little business, but let's get to know Jay in a more personal level. So let's go.
I'm already scared.
You're already scared. Let's start number one. Let's go. All right. Let's see. First question. If you had the world's attention for 30 seconds, what would you say?
Oh, wow. Whatever you have dreamed of doing, do it now. Do not put it off. Do it now. Make plans for it, because life is too short not to enjoy the journey.
Awesome. That is awesome. Perfect. 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 All right. Question number two.
I gotta get me one of these.
All right. Man. Yeah. It's the Naked Truth Roulette. So let's roll. Let's see what we got. Oh yeah. How do you feel about putting pineapple on your pizza?
That would not be my favorite. I mean, I love pineapple.
Yeah.
I love pizza, but I'm not so game on pineapple on pizza. I
mean, all right. It's a no for Jay Conner. No for pineapple on pizza. Awesome. Third question. Let's roll. You've been a great sport. I love it. Love it. Love it.
Oh, this is fun. It's scary and fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see.
It's like a roller coaster, right?
Oh, this is going to be good. I want to hear this one.
Oh
yeah. If you could take any celebrity on a date, who would it be?
Oh, my word. A celebrity on a date.
I was hoping I'd get this one so bad. You didn't even know, Jay. And I didn't. I rigged.
A celebrity on a date. Wow.
Just go grab some coffee. Get a chance to have a chat.
So it's like, who is my favorite actress out there? Shoot, I'm telling you, man. So let's see here. Well, can they be dead?
Oh yeah. Yeah, anybody.
I'm trying to think of the woman that sang God Bless America. Kate Smith. Awesome. I mean, I love singers. Me and Carol Joy, we're like musical families, piano, voice, and all that kind of stuff. Well, Kate Smith, she didn't even need no microphone in the football stadium when she sang God Bless America. That's what she was known for.
Awesome. I'm going to Google it. I'm going to find her.
Oh, my. Yeah, you wouldn't remember Kate Smith. You're not old enough.
Okay. I'm going to find this. Kate Smith.
That's the only one that comes to mind.
All right. That's good. That's a nice one. That's good, Jay. All right. Make sure we don't send this over to your wife. All right. Let's go. Last question. Awesome.
I think you rigged this.
No, definitely not rigged. Yeah, you know, how do you say that? Scout's honor, right? Oh, I'm not, but definitely not rigged. So what cartoon did you like growing up as a kid?
Oh, that's a long list.
I'll take a couple. What do you have?
I love Bugs Bunny. Bugs is so cool, right? So I love Bugs Bunny. I love the Flintstones. So you got to love Fred. I love Fred Flintstone. And then Scooby-Doo, my lands. I mean, who could not love Scooby-Doo, right?
It's good. That's awesome. So you give ourselves Scooby-Doo, the Flintstones, and Bugs Bunny. Yeah, you can't go wrong with either one.
Is Bugs Bunny like a common answer?
You know what? I've heard it a couple of times. Yeah, I definitely heard it a couple of times. So it just depends, right? Those cartoons were great. Just watching them as a kid. And I try to tell my kids, when I used to watch cartoons, it'd be like 1 hour before school sometimes, or like 3 hours on a Saturday. That was it. There was no more cartoons. It was just in the morning and that was it. There was no more cartoons.
Well, the only time I saw them was Saturday morning.
Yep.
Saturday morning. But look now, it's not a cartoon, but you know my favorite comedy show of all time is The Three Stooges.
The Three Stooges. Oh, wow. Hey.
I mean, there was Moe and Curly and Larry, the original three. I mean, Shemp was no good. Joe was no good. I mean, just give me Moe, Curly, and Larry. Now, those three, Curly was my favorite. I mean, you could go around on a circle on the floor. I love it.
And for you, everybody out there in their early 20s, go do some YouTube and go find the Three Stooges. It's actually pretty funny. Jay, you survived the Naked Truth Roulette.
Oh, man, you are hilarious.
Jay, I appreciate you, man. You're such a great sport and a lot of energy. I really appreciate it. And everybody out there, go ahead and check out Jay's book. It's awesome. And I appreciate his time for coming out. It's a lot of knowledge here that he shared today and gave us his time, which is unbelievable. I'm Javier Hinojo, your host. Don't lose your shirt.
Time consuming, it can be very scary. It could be like trying to get somewhere without a roadmap. So that's why I created this due diligence list when I buy a property. When I buy an apartment building, or even a mobile home park, you can use it for mostly pretty much any commercial property. But this one specifically is for a multifamily. It could be a 6-unit, it could be a 600 unit. You can use it for what you like. So go ahead and sign up, put your name, email. I'll send you the free link to my due diligence. This is what I've used to buy hundreds and hundreds of units, if not thousands of units. So sign up, you get my link. You get an Excel sheet as well. And also we use the software, project management software, monday.com. Feel free to sign up for a free trial. I do have an affiliate link. You don't pay any extra. They just pay me a small fee. Don't have to use it. You have the Excel spreadsheet, but if you use monday.com, it's actually a lot better, a lot smoother, a lot prettier, and you can do a whole bunch of other stuff. There's even a video there I created in the link. So check the link, sign up, and this is my giveaway for you guys. Thank you so much. Take care.
This has been The Naked Truth. Our mission is to give it to you raw. If you got value from this episode, you're invited to leave an honest written review and share this episode with a friend. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.